Well, the weeks I don't preach, I especially visit with our members and our friends. Wherever I went, people ask, what is Crossroad Church? You know, our idea of church is that we come together, sing some songs, and go back. And we look for the perfect place. We want to have the best sanctuary. We want to have the best audiovisual equipments. And we want to have the best place for our kids. Is it Crossroad Church? I tell them, no, that is not Crossroad Church. We don't own a building. God has given us a place to come together to worship. And we don't have a lot of equipments. We are kind of pilgrims, move from one place to another, and we all come from different parts of this city, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So we are a group of people from different race, different color, different language groups. So you can say Crossroad Church is a multi-ethnic body of Christ. And our desire is not to just come together like this once a week, but the purpose of coming together is to reach a group of people in Dallas-Fort Worth. That is, most churches are not able to reach them, and there are about 200,000 people in Dallas-Fort Worth. That is, people, first and second generation immigrants from South Asia. We like to reach them. So if you ask, what is Crossroad Church? Crossroad Church is a multi-ethnic body of Christ that seeks to the immigrant community from South Asia that live in Dallas-Fort Worth. That is our, that is the purpose of our existence. You know, we come together, and we want, church is not the end, but it is a means to an end. So we don't have a building, we don't have a lot of facility, but we have a deep desire. So everyone who comes together, if you don't have this desire to reach out to South Asian community, probably you may get frustrated here. So we want to remind you once in 2 months or once in 3 months, say, this is our vision. Crossroad Church, the vision of Crossroad Church is to reach South Asian community that lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth. And we have a mission. Mission is what we do right now. We do three things. We have, one vertical, one horizontal, one outside. That is a kind of three-dimensional mission. Exalt, edify, and evangelize. Crossroad Church exists to worship God or exalt God, edify one another, and evangelize the non-Christians outside. Today we are starting a series to talk about this mission statement. What is this mission statement? Exalt, edify, and evangelize. The first part is exalt. That is what I'd like to talk to you today. The passage we have chosen is from Revelation chapter 4 to 5. Before we go there, you may ask, what is this word exalt? Where did you get this from? The word exalt comes from Old Testament and also from New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are several places this word is used. In Hebrew, it is room. R-U-H-M-U-M. Room is exalt. And in Greek, it is hupsu. That means, exalt. We will just highlight a little bit of the meaning of this word. When we use this word with God, then it is to raise God higher, metaphorically. God is so big, we cannot lift him. When Isaac was here, I saw Lisa going and just lifting him like this. It is kind of raising a person up. So when we use the word exalt with God, what we mean metaphorically is we are going to raise God up. That is the meaning of the word room or exalt. Or to elevate, keep a person in the high pedestal. We have that word in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It starts from 5, where Jesus is in the form of God, but he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, came and he took the form of a slave, and he gave himself on the cross so that God brought him out of grave and exalted him. That is, the word is chupsu. That means, you know, he was kept in high pedestal. There is nothing above Jesus Christ. There is nothing above our triune God. That is the word exalt. That is why we have in our mission statement, the first word is exalting God. We exist as body of body of believers. Our mission, first part of our mission is to exalt this amazing God. You know, the other part of it is to speak well of God. Exalting God, you know, we cannot just lift him up physically, but to speak well of him. All the songs that we sang today, they all spoke well of our God. In Psalm 34, we see, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And he is calling, come, let us exalt the Lord together. And you see from Old Testament to New Testament, several saints exalted people to exalt God. And they spoke well of him, said, he is so close to the crushed in spirit. And he heals the brokenhearted. He is a creator. Come, let us bow down before him and worship our maker. That is speaking good of him. That is the meaning. The meaning of exalt is speaking good of him. We have in several places mentioned Exodus 15:2. Then Psalm 145:1-2, we see, come, let us exalt the God, exalt our God. That means, come, let us speak good of him. It also means to make good, to make God look good before other people. When we are in a place like Galleria Mall or Jefferson Park or in the streets of New York, we have to make our God good to outsiders. You know, that is exalting. When David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant from one part of the city to Jerusalem, he was just dancing, and his wife came and said, why are you dancing? You are a king. Are you not ashamed to dance like this with very, very less clothes? And I think when he was just dancing and singing, most of his outwear, he lost. But she was ashamed, and he said, I will do even worse than this to exalt my king, my God. To make God so good and big before people, that is exalt. It is not just singing few songs. It is not just coming together from 5 o'clock to 6:15. But wherever we go, when you go to work, when you are staying in a particular location, when you are in the airplane, when you are in a marketplace, you are going to look, make your God look good. That is exaltation. Then, another meaning, to talk good things about God to others. Says, God is so good to me. You know, there are several places psalmist invites people and he tells, this is what God did. He says, this poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. Young lions suffer hunger, but those who trust in the Lord shall never lack good things. God is so close to those who are broken in spirit. You know, speaking good to others about God is exalting him. When you see someone in a marketplace and tell, hey, our God is so good, you are actually exalting him. Sometimes they may look at you and laugh. That's fine. If you want to exalt God, you have to speak good about your God to others. You know, if you look at all of them, these are all external. All these are external, speaking good about God to others, or representing God to other people to make God good, and also sing few songs. These are all external. What we meant when we use the word exalt in our mission statement is, external is not important unless it stems from internal. So the true exaltation must come from our heart, not just from our mouth. It should be an overflow from our heart. There is a passage I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 onwards, where God is weary of people who were very religious, and God has several complaints about these people. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 to 16. We will read and see why God does not want a lot of songs. Sometimes we may think, okay, worship or exalting God is just coming and singing few songs, playing some music, or going and speaking about God, but it is much more than that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 onwards, it says like this: "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked you to bring this trampling of my coats? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your anointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my face from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean." What I understand from this is, one can fake the exalting of God. God can be so close to your mouth, and He can be very far from your heart. I have done it several times. I'll be singing, thank you Lord, with my mouth, because I learned it. I know that one from my memory, but I'm not thanking my God from my heart. That is what happening here. God was so close to their mouth, but He was very far from their heart. God is saying, it is detestable to me. It is irritating to my heart. We don't want to build a community called Crossroad, where God is so close to your mouth, but very far from your heart. We don't want to fake when we sing certain things. You know, it is so possible we will be coming together, be part of a big community, but we can fake exalting God. Words are used, but hearts are not involved. It can be purely subjective, ritualistic, and narcissistic. It can be, you know, subjective. I have heard several times people saying, oh, today's worship was so good. Why was it? We had good music and good songs. You know, it is purely subjective. Sometimes, you know, people say, oh, this church is so good because they are singing a lot of contemporary songs. And if you go and look at some old people, they say, oh, that church is very good because they don't sing any contemporary songs. Worship is not about contemporary songs and traditional songs. Worship is much more than that. It is not subjective, it is objective. It is not ritualistic. Oh, this is Sunday or Saturday, I have to go to church. No, it is not ritualistic. And that is what people did in Isaiah chapter 1. They came to the temple regularly, they sang some songs, but they were faking it. When they were worshiping God, God was very far from their heart. We don't want to build a community called Crossroad where God is far, but we are so rich in music and songs and all other, you know, outward expressions. It can be narcissistic. That means, you know, it is all about me. Oh, I will go to this church if they sing this particular song, or if they use this particular music. Or, you know, my needs are met. I feel I am worshiping. That is not what we mean by exalting God. It is not subjective. It is not narcissistic. It is not ritualistic. Sometimes it can be emotional and subjective, not necessarily directed towards God. You know, that's a kind of... you know, people are so used to become emotional. When we have a music, suddenly we become really emotional. And when we sing certain songs, we become really emotional and say, man, today's worship was so good. You know, how much we become emotional doesn't determine what kind of worship we offer. How much we think about God and how much our worship is objective, that determines. So, you know, when we look at our worship, a lot of time we can be faking before God. Even if our group is so small, my desire and our desire is this, that we will truly exalt our God. You know, we will make Him so big in our mind, in our heart, in our midst. When we go outside, we will exalt Him by saying good things about Him. When we go out, we have to learn to represent God so big so that He will be exalted. So today's lesson comes from Revelation chapter 4 and 5. You know, you may ask, what is Book of Revelation? I have been reading. Several people asked me, even a few weeks back when I was in a home group, they said, would you please teach us from Book of Revelation? Book of Revelation is completely different from other books. The literature is called apocalyptic literature. And we should not read this literature or this book the same way we read Gospels and the epistles. But today we are not going to talk about the apocalyptic literature. We are going to just think about our God. And when we go from here, we should have a deep desire to worship like the elders and the angels. That is my desire today. You know, Book of Revelation was not written in a beautiful sanctuary. It was not written with the accompaniment of so much of good music. It was written when John, the apostle, was in a place called Patmos. It was a place designated to exile when they did something wrong by the Roman government. John was in Patmos, if the tradition is correct, during one of the worst persecutions. You know, it's a kind of statewide persecution during the time of Domitian. And John probably was very old. He was in Patmos all by himself. And he got this amazing picture of heaven. And this is the only passage, this is one of the few passages we see all three persons, the triune God, Spirit, Father, Son. And Spirit enables the heavenly scene. And the object of worship is not John, is not the elders, is not the angels, but God Himself, Father and the Son. We have to ask question, who are we going to exalt when we come together? Whether we use traditional songs or when we use contemporary songs. Corporate worship at home, our worship should always be directed towards the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will read, I will take us through a few passages, and we will see here in verse 2, it says, at once I was in the Spirit. When John was in Patmos, a small island, southwest of modern-day Turkey, and he was in the Spirit. And I believe true worship happens, or, you know, we are enabled to worship God only when Holy Spirit of God comes into our life. Only when He has more freedom in our life. If we are not born again, if our life is not regenerated, we will not be able to worship God the way John, you know, we are expected to worship God. Jesus said, the time is coming. We will stop worshiping God ritually. We will stop worshiping God narcissistically. But time is coming. We will worship God in truth and spirit. You know, our worship experience begins with the Holy Spirit. And John was in spirit. At that time, he sees God like this. He is not seeing God in his physical eyes, but he is seeing God in a different realm here. And the next few verses is amazing. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In all these passages, we don't see God's personal name there. And he is always using the one who is seated there, the one who was, who is, and who will be, because God cannot be just described with one proper name. And God cannot be described in one word, and he is seeing God, and he is able to see the things surrounded, the people surrounded, but he is not able to just to describe this God, so he is using metaphors. He's saying, like. And after that, we see a beautiful thing. The angels that had encircled this throne, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come. When they were singing day and night, the elders, the 24 people who were seated on the throne, they just threw their crown on the floor and they were prostrating. That is called exaltation. They were becoming small, and God becoming big. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, you must increase and I must decrease. So worship is not narcissistic. It is not all about myself. It is not subjective. It's all about God and seeing him more and more, and we becoming small and small and small. Our preferences becoming immaterial when we have a glimpse of God. John Piper said, mission exists because worship doesn't. A lot of time we do a lot of activities around because we are not getting the pure glimpse of God. When these 24 elders who had these big crowns in their head, the minute they saw God, they were not so much of, proud of their crowns and the seat in the heavenly places. They were just throwing it and worshiping God. That is exalt, or that is called exaltation. We should learn to do that every time we get an opportunity to worship God. We should be able to say, God, you are big and we are small. It is not what I want. It is not my preference. Lord, it is all about you. You are. And this is what they said here in the last verse. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You know, worship is not emotional, but worship is knowledge. What is this knowledge? It's knowing about God. A lot of time, we may say worship is music, worship is just personal experience. What I see in Genesis to Revelation is the best worship experience happens when you get a better glimpse of God. We need to come close to God and closer to God and closer to God daily, every day. As we do that, we will become better worshipers, not necessarily with songs, not necessarily with music, but with authentic worship. Because the more we know God, the better worshipers we become. The more He becomes big, the lesser we become day by day when we come to the God's presence. You know, when we started this year from Ephesians, we read a passage from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. And 21 is an amazing verse 21 and 22. But 17, Paul prays, this is my prayer that you will understand the breadth, the height, depth of God's love. So that you will know him. And you will understand his love for you. How do we know? We have to really read God's word. We cannot just go and sit in one place Or we cannot just go in a room and just ask God to reveal to us. But we have a word, we have to just go read and understand who God is. When you have a better understanding of God, you will worship God more. You know, last 1 month when I was meditating to prepare a sermon series, a sermon series on the attributes of God, now I turned to all the passages where it talks about God's omniscience. And I was trying to get a glimpse of this God. God, you know everything. You know the future. You know what will happen at 8 o'clock. You know what will happen tomorrow. You know what will happen 2 years from now and 200 years from now. And you know what is happening in my heart, in my mind. You know what is happening in Fort Worth where my son is. You know everything. I'm just afraid of this God. Not fearful, but I'm just coming closer to God and I'm worshiping God. You are so omniscient. I can only worship you, nothing else. You know, that is what this guy, psalmist in Psalm 139, he got a glimpse of who this God is. He said, Lord, I go up, you are there. I go down, you are there. I go deep inside, you are there. Even before I was born, you understood me. And finally he says, search my heart and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me. Purge me. Because, you know, he cannot hide anything from God. And our God is such an amazing God. When I was just looking at omnipotent God, is there anything impossible with God? No. There is nothing impossible with God. Therefore, all I can do is I just go and worship Him. He is present here and He is present elsewhere. He is present everywhere. Not only in this globe, He is present everywhere in the whole of universe. I get a glimpse of this God and say, wow, I need to be worshiping Him. All I can do is just worship Him. And I think of this God who is so big, sovereign, wonderful, and He comes and makes a relationship with me. And, you know, although I am so insignificant, I have, you know, suddenly I stop breathing for 2 minutes, I'm gone. But still, He considers me as His precious. You know, the world rejects me. Or, you know, people say, you are bad guy. Or, you know, you are not beautiful. You are not talented. But God has sent His own Son to this world to die on the cross for me. All the world rejects me, but God doesn't reject me. All I can do is just go and worship Him. So, you know, my point is this. The more you know Him, the better you worship Him. At that time, my preferences don't matter. Whether there is drums, whether there is guitar, it doesn't matter. Whether I feel good or it doesn't matter. As long as I see my God on the throne, that matters. Isaiah was walking around proud, and he had already pronounced judgment on 6 people. He called Edom, woe unto you. Moab, woe unto you. He looked at everyone, woe unto you. Because he was a prophet, he was walking around pridefully. But he sees Jehovah, the Lord, seated on the throne. And this is what he said, woe unto me. That there begins Isaiah's ministry. It is not what you do that matters. How much you see this God seated on the throne, that matters, because there begins our exaltation. The more we exalt our God, you know, the least we exalt ourselves, or we put us down. He becomes significant and we become insignificant. He becomes more and we become less. That is exaltation. In this passage we read again, knowledge is so important. A lot of people, recently they surveyed 3,000 Christians, 3,000 people, and to see how much they have knowledge about Bible and their God. Most people did not know about God and Bible. But atheists and non-Christians, they knew about God. It's just a week back, a result came. You know why? Because we don't read the scripture. We are relying on second-hand and third-hand information. This is what we read about Jesus Christ here in chapter 5. And it says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God. I am counted in that. So I have to really worship God, because Jesus Christ, you know, spent his blood to purchase me for the purpose of, from every tribe, tongue, language and people, all nations, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve God, and they will reign on the earth. It's a, you know, we know more about Jesus Christ. And finally we see this one. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And I get a picture of heaven here. God is seated. Jesus Christ, the slain Lamb, is seated. And Holy Spirit is enabling all these people to worship. And there is just worship and music. You know, it is not people are not concerned about what kind of music they are singing, but the whole worship is all about God and the Son, the slain Lamb. How much, well, you know, how beautiful it will be, even if we are a small group of people, God becomes the center, and we just worship God and exalting God. So, the question is, how do we exalt God? We need to have knowledge of God, and we need to have knowledge about Christ, and shift has to take place from me to him. A lot of time, it's all about me and myself. This is what I like. This is what I prefer. And we have, you know, when I came to Dallas first time, I got a shock, because in Dallas, every street has at least minimum 3 churches. If you don't like one church, you can go to the next one. And for some of us, For 50 years, you can go to different churches. Still, you wouldn't have visited all the churches. We can choose churches for music. But we will be just hopping from one place to another. But authentic worship will not take place. You know, we have been bought by the blood of Christ to worship. To have an authentic worship, we need to have an authentic knowledge, a good knowledge of God and Christ. And shift has to take place from me to him. So, as Crossroad Church, we believe, we desire that when we come together, we will try to emulate this heavenly experience. We will not be thinking about us a lot of time. We will be thinking about him. And these elders, they did not think about, the minute they saw God, they were not thinking about themselves. They just threw their crown and they just fell on the feet of God, and they were worshiping. And here also we need to do that. Sometime, you know, if you like to raise your hand, you can do that. If you can just kneel down, you can do that. So, you know, we are not a stiff church. What matters is God. However God prompts you, you can worship. But when you worship, you know, learn to take the, learn to shift the focus from you to him. That takes me to the next point, is this. Worship is substantive. It is not based on conditions surrounding us, but it is based on the person of God. Substantive in the sense, when we worship God, we are not going to just make few sound all the time. We are not going to say, just praise the Lord. But we will tell God. You know, that is what these elders do here. You are worthy. You created. You were slain. You have bought us, or bought a humanity for yourself. And they are the priests. And they are the kingdom. They will reign in this world. They have the substance. If you know God, and if you know who you are, you will be able to worship God more and more. So to have an authentic worship, or to make an authentic worship take place, we need to have substance, or our worship has to be substantive. You know, when we sing, when we give, when we walk around, we need to learn to exalt God. I have come across people, they say, oh, I give God just 1.5 hours a week. I'm so busy. It's fine. But if you know about God, the one who is seated on the throne, and you know this, the destiny of your salvation, you will say, may I experience more and more every day of this God. And I have seen people who work hard to give to God all the time. They say, I want to give more and more. I recently came across one person. He wanted to become a preaching minister. And he felt that he doesn't have that call. And he became a successful businessman, very successful businessman in North Carolina. And he said, we need only a certain amount of money for everything that we need. With the rest of the things, we want to exalt God. We want to see God exalted through our giving. So, you know, you may notice that we never use the word tithe here. We'll say, you know, whatever you feel, you give it to God. Because, you know, you are not just giving to God ritually, but you are going to exalt God through your giving. Even when we go to Jefferson Park, today we are going to go to Jefferson Park. You may be just sitting there, but even with your attitude is going to make a difference. And you are going to exalt God there. Exaltation of God is substantive, and it is not based on the circumstances that surround you. When John was in Patmos, he had every reason to just go and sleep or just take rest, because he was going from one place to another. He saw so much of persecution. You know, during the 300 years of persecution, this was one of the worst persecutions under Domitian. He could have been just, worried about all the things happening around. But he was in spirit, and he had a glimpse of heaven. And my desire, through the explanation of the word exalt, you need to understand, Crossroad Church desires everyone to become those who become people who will exalt God authentically. Not thinking about our preference, not thinking about our convenience, not thinking about the circumstances around us, but thinking about God and, worshiping Him authentically. Only one point I'd like to leave as a takeaway. You may ask, then, I want to become a true worshiper. I want to exalt God every day. How do we do that? It's simple. We need to read God's word regularly to get a better glimpse of God. You know, this morning when I was just reading Psalm 34, all these days, I have memorized Psalm 34, but I did not really see this particular one. It says, come, let us exalt the Lord together. That particular verse, I was stuck, and for some time I was looking at various background and the circumstances in which psalmist composed this particular sentence. It's amazing. He was running away from the hands of Saul. He acted as a madman in before Abimelech, and he had every reason to go and be discouraged, but he's saying, calling people, come, let us exalt the Lord together. You know why? Because he had a better understanding of who this God is. For us to know more about God, we have to become students of His Word to get a better glimpse of God consistently. What we know about Him today should be a better tomorrow, next month. As we do that, you know, time doesn't matter. Our money doesn't matter. Our inconvenience doesn't matter. We'll become worshippers of God. May God bless us. Before we go into time of communion, we thought we will do it just after the word. If you'd like to really worship God today, and this is a tangible way of doing it, people have been doing it for the last 2,000 years. And Jesus said the day He was betrayed, do this in remembrance of Me. And His command is very clear, not as a ritual, first week of every month, but whenever you come together, remember Me. That is a true worship, remembering God, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ. what do we remember? This is what we should be reminded and remember, is God loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to this world to die on the cross for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And His death was not just a death of punishment as a criminal, but He died for you and me as a substitution. The place I needed to die, the place you needed to die, He died on the cross. Think about that. You know, He said, I'll take care of it. Because we could not take care of it. He did it. We call it the substitutionary death. Because of His death, the wall that separated us from God is broken down. The curtain that separated the Holy of Holies and holy is removed. We don't need to go to God, you know, top of the mountain. We don't need to go to a far place to see God. When we are here, God's presence is here. And Jesus Christ rose on the third day. And He's still seated at the right hand of the Father. And the worship scene that we saw in Revelation 4 and 5 continuously is taking place. The angels and the elders are worshiping, saying, Holy, 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 God Almighty, you are worthy because you are slain and you purchased a people. And that is happening even today. And some of you may be thinking, wow, last week I did not live a holy life. I said bad things. I got angry, or I saw bad things. And some of you may think, you know, I need to stay away from this communion. No, communion reminds us that God is gracious. What He offered on the cross 2,000 years back is still applicable. The effect of it continues. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, the Lord is just and righteous to forgive us all our transgressions. This is the best time to come and rededicate our life and give back to God. And say, Lord, I don't want to go away from you. I want to come back to you. And when we come together, we are actually getting ready for Revelation 4 and 5. Because one day we are going to be with God. When we participate in this communion, we are saying, Lord, and to the world, we are a community of future. We may have big houses here, a lot of money here, big jobs, but they don't matter. What matters is we are going to be a community of future. We are going to worship God in His presence. Let us prepare our hearts, and I will lead us in prayer. Then, as usual, you can just come and participate. And after that, we will just continue to worship in God's presence. We will just pray.